NPR.
Kathy Seekercher is 55. She lives in an apartment that she rents in Camden, South Carolina, with her husband. Before the coronavirus pandemic, Kathy was working multiple jobs. She ran the cafe at a bookstore, and she also worked as a server at a restaurant.
But the pandemic would shut down both of those workplaces. And in March, Kathy started a new job at an assisted living facility, working with dementia patients. She likes the work, but it only pays $12 an hour, and overtime pay is not available to her.
So when I took the new job for my career, it then sent our rent back months, just months. I don't make enough money to support myself. My husband had a stroke at 44 4 years ago, so he's not able to work.
By August, Kathy had fallen thousands of dollars behind on her rent. And at $12 an hour, she just was not making enough money to both pay her full rent and cover her other bills, like electricity and car insurance and her husband's medications.
And my landlord was wonderful to be so patient with us, really was wonderful, but he has to make money, you know? And I had reconciled in my head, like, how I was going to get rid of our stuff, how we were going to live in the car, and that was just going to be okay.
Kathy says there were some dark moments then, when the stress from the possibility of being evicted was just overwhelming.
To be in that desperate situation, to be in that desperate situation and really feel like you've done everything you possibly can. You know, I'm a frugal person. I homeschooled my children for years. I know how to pinch a good penny, but there was no pinch.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, evictions. Millions and possibly tens of millions of renters throughout the U.S. could soon face a similar situation to the one that Kathy was facing. The loss of jobs and income for so many of these renters has left the country with a possible evictions crisis. And that crisis could have catastrophic consequences, both for the renters themselves and also for the whole economy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Microsoft. The world has changed. And Microsoft Teams is there to help us stay connected. Teams is the safe and secure way to chat, meet, call, and collaborate. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/Teams. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google. Google has a variety of free tools and resources to help small businesses adapt, from trainings to on-demand classes through Grow with Google. Explore Google's free tools for small businesses at Google.com/small business.
The rent for the apartment that Kathy Seekercher shares with her husband in Camden, South Carolina, is $695 a month, and she cannot afford that on her wages from the assisted living facility where she now works.
It's really difficult. My paycheck today was $595, and that's for 2 weeks.
Even before the COVID pandemic, roughly one out of every four renting households in the U.S. was already paying more than half of their monthly income in rent. So a lot of renters were already paying their rent paycheck to paycheck.
But when the pandemic started, the federal government, along with state and local governments, did respond. They responded with policies to help avoid an immediate surge in evictions for a lot of these renters.
Congress and the president expanded unemployment benefits in the CARES Act, passed in late March, which helped people who lost their jobs keep paying their bills, things like rent. Plus, a lot of state and local governments put these moratoriums in place that would stop landlords from evicting tenants. The federal government added its own moratorium on evictions for a lot of housing complexes that it subsidizes.
But the expanded unemployment benefits expired at the end of July. And the moratoriums on evictions in at least 24 of the states that had them had also expired by the end of July, including the moratorium in Kathy's own state of South Carolina. The federal moratorium has also expired. And all of these reasons are why so many housing experts are now warning that an evictions crisis could start soon.
And the people who are most vulnerable to an evictions crisis are low-income renters. According to the Urban Institute, low-income renters are more likely to have held jobs that have been lost in the COVID pandemic, especially jobs in food services and the retail sector.
In fact, two of the jobs that Kathy Seekercher worked before the pandemic, in a restaurant and in a bookstore, were in those two very sectors. The new job that she took at the assisted living facility did not pay her nearly enough to offset the income she lost. But the economy is still in rough shape, so finding the kind of work she used to do is just still really hard.
It's hard when you're willing to work 3-4 jobs. Like, I'm not afraid to work, but you can't find work.
A lot of Americans can't find work right now, and many are struggling to pay their rent. According to the Census Bureau, roughly 1 out of 5 renters could not pay their rent on time in July. And August could be worse. Nearly 1 out of 3 renters said they either had no confidence or only slight confidence that they could pay their August rent.
For months, Kathy says that she herself could only pay partial rent. Her landlord kept a growing tab for her, running into the thousands of dollars.
And I would ask him every couple months to show us where we were, because I was trying to make payments. I would keep making payments, but it would be like $300 for the month. Well, that's less than half of what I owe him. Even though I have a job, that's a good, a decent job. But it was a challenge. You know, it's very stressful to live under that environment.
If an evictions crisis does become a reality, communities of color would also be disproportionately hurt, partly because a much higher share of Black and Latino households are renters instead of homeowners. They're about twice as likely as white households to rent. And even before the pandemic, they were already much more likely to face eviction than white households.
If there is any good news here, it's just that the evictions crisis has not actually started yet. The warning signs are flashing red, but so far, evictions are actually quite low in a lot of major cities.
That, of course, does not mean that everything is fine. Remember that the expanded unemployment benefits and the state moratoriums on evictions only just expired a few weeks ago. And it could take a bit of time before the struggles that people are having in paying their rent translate into actual evictions.
And it also means, of course, that there is still time for federal and state and local policymakers to act again and possibly avert a crisis. Meanwhile, in at least some parts of the country, hundreds of rental assistance programs have been directing their money to help prevent evictions. And a lot of them have received money from the federal government for this very purpose.
And one of those organizations ended up helping Kathy. In fact, it was actually her landlord who put her in touch with a local program from the United Way that helps fight homelessness, this program called New Day. Kathy applied and got a grant from New Day. She was approved to receive about $4,000. And that money cleared all the back rent that Kathy owed her landlord.
I felt like I finally had a chance to get my head slightly above water so that I could breathe, and it would give me that time that I needed to get my life together again. And by the 1st of September, we'll be able to put the rest of my rent down. Like, I'll be able to breathe.
Of course, a new start does not mean everything will continue to be fine in the future. Kathy is hopeful that as the economy recovers, she'll be able to find other jobs to supplement her income. But that partly also depends on whether it becomes safe to work those jobs while there is still a pandemic. There is no certainty about this, or about whether the economy will keep recovering. And so in the meantime, Kathy has a message for policymakers.
Anything can turn on a dime, and there are people who are really hardworking, who really don't want to take charity, but don't have a choice. And if it is something that can help people, even anybody, I would absolutely beg them to consider to continue these programs. We need them. We have people that want to make their rent. They want to pay their bills. They don't want to take charity. And they're working as hard as they can. You know, and then when you add in the stress of COVID and going out, even if you don't have to work in an environment like I do, just to go out, it's so mentally exhausting. The mental anguish of not being able to pay your bills is overwhelming. And I don't know how funding works, but I do know that if there had not been this funding, I'd be in my car.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by James Sneed and fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. The Indicator is edited by Patty Hirsch, and it is a production of NPR.
Here at Life Kit, we know that getting your financial house in order can feel painful. Now there's this whole coronavirus pandemic to deal with. Our personal finance tune-up series will help you feel more confident and get you on the right track. Listen and subscribe to NPR's Life Kit.